Terry Savage is in the house as we get ready to see what the Fed is going to do. Terry is the nationally syndicated financial columnist and the author of Social Security Horror Stories. Protect yourself from the system. Avoid clawbacks. That's a big problem that Terry and her co-author have tackled. She's in our studio today. Hi, Terry.
Hi. I'm actually on a, I am on a high because you know that this has been like tilting at windmills. I feel a little bit like Don Quixote, you know, trying to get Social Security to deal with the issue of $21.6 billion of their mistakes being clawed back from disabled and elderly seniors. And we had some very promising news, I'm going to call it. Social Security has a new commissioner, Martin O'Malley, and he's only been there for about a month. Larry Kotlikoff and I have been talking with Treasury behind the scenes for the last couple of months. Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, I'm really dropping names here, but you could hear the smile in my voice, detailed two of her highest level associates, people that work for her, to look into what would our suggestions be. What she's the chief trustee, by the way, of Social Security. She's got a lot on her plate. I don't think she realized this was happening until the columns and then 60 Minutes last November and then what's gone on since. So anyway, the new commissioner said out loud in an interview, he's been getting a lot of pressure, that these were, what did he call them, cruel-hearted and mindless, these clawbacks. And said he was going to be taking immediate action. And some of the terms he used were just what we said on 60 Minutes in our book and in the columns, statute of limitations on clawbacks, proof by the agency. I mean, they just come up and send you a letter 30 days and pay $29,412 or we're cutting off your benefits. He's hoping to put caps on the clawbacks. This is real progress. And then play some sound music because I'm going to give you the big butt behind it.
Yeah, well, I had a question about that. Is this the sort of thing that if the agency is so engaged, as you're saying, or the Treasury is, can they do it by fiat or would it require congressional action?
This is gonna, No. No, they can do this. But let me tell you why and how it's going to be so hard. So Larry and I were invited to kind of an exclusive Zoom meeting yesterday. It was Monday, and with the people that are advising this, the new commissioner, and some simple questions like, hey, here's an idea. Oh, no, they said, look, it's a problem because, you know, mixed in with those clawbacks, they are seriously investigating some fraudulent issues, you know. And so here's a question for them. Why don't you just sort out the ones you're investigating for fraud and then do a blanket waiver or suspension for those who are clawback because of the agency's mistakes. Well, you see, when they set up the computer programs back in the 1980s using COBOL, which is a programming language nobody uses anymore, they didn't put a box in. So we can't just tell now who we're investigating for fraud and who we're just clawing back from because of our own errors. This is a serious answer from the insiders. It seems that Social Security systems are so antiquated and messed up. So what we're hoping for is that there'll be a suspension of clawbacks, a reinstatement of benefits. It's going to be very tough, I've learned. I mean, I was just appalled. I was so up from the fact the commissioner's on it and then just dropped 10 stories when I realized it isn't going to be so easy to do. Larry and I have hundreds, thousands of people who've posted on our blog, I stopped putting them up because the stories are so sad. And all I could say was, okay, we're trying. We've got your information. We're hoping to be able. My suggestion was, let us give you 100 people we know are clawbacks because they've written to us. Why don't you take have a task force and just take on those 100. We'll give you 100. We got
dispatch
their names and emails.
Staff to just start handling these.
Okay. We're trying to make some progress. There's another meeting that we can give this in. We've given this information to this
Well,
group.
As a taxpayer and future Social Security recipient, I would say this. If the choice was you claw back money from people, in the cases that you're talking about where it's unfortunate or unfair, but if you have two pools, it's those people and then the people who are frauding the system, mm-hmm. I would say let's help that poor group and the bad guys get away with it.
Well, that's
okay. Go after
okay.
the bad guys and screw these other people.
So that was the next thing. And oh no, came the statement from Social Security. We must follow the law. And then Larry Kotlikoff, brilliant guy, said, you know that there are two conflicting laws you're under. The other one, which has been adjudicated in court and is part of the Social Security essence, says that when something like this goes against equity and good conscience, you have a duty to waive the claim. And so what this working group is bringing up and came into focus yesterday or Monday on the conversation was, do they have the duty to claw back and get stuff that was wrongly paid out and was fraudulently achieved? Or is that superseded by this duty of equity and good conscience? And we're hoping that if the commissioner would take that road, he would then be able to say, okay, immediate pause. Let's get this in order.
I would say if you put that up to our listeners, or you know,
oh, yeah, we'd all
to
America.
America. Just make it a news clip. Okay, which the bad guys, some of them might get with it, but then at least the good people aren't screwed.
Yes.
Or we got to go after the bad guys and the good people get screwed.
Get caught up in the net.
Which one do you pick? You got to pick one. I'm so glad you were in on that meeting. That must have been a great moment for you. It sounds like a great moment for us. Terry Savage in our studio to answer your questions. I know we both want to move on, but I just want to make this point. You said your heart felt 10 stories when they said the logistics of all of this can be overwhelming and maybe it won't be such a snap, but you were persuaded, Terry, that they, the advisors you were talking to at Social Security, are sincere. They're motivated about doing something about this clawback problem.
Yeah, these were advisors to the new chairman and commissioner, I should say. And yeah, these are the smartest people who've been looking at this and digging through this. They're not inside Social Security. They get it. The strategic thing is how can it get teed up in a way that we can... It's great to say, hey, yeah, the commissioner cares. But we have 5,000 people a day on average getting clawback letters. We
still
have lots of people who are still waiting. Are they going to... The waiver was turned down. When are they going to stop their benefits? They've stopped their benefits. They've tried to apply for a hearing. It takes 2 years. They can't get a lawyer to help them. There's no money in it for the lawyer. We have all these people hanging in the abyss. And for them, 18 months is a lifetime. You're retired. You're living on a check for $1,722 a month. To have that suspended, to have money taken out of it arbitrarily by the lower level people and that you talk to on the phones, because the real thing we want to do is set up a whole new infrastructure to get wave clawback claims reviewed by a very high level committee and tracked as to their equity and good conscience, and see if there can't be some arrangements made, maybe a $10 a month cut in your benefits. We need a whole new system that exists outside of the horrendous computer mess that is Social Security, where the computers don't talk to each other.
I went to SSA.gov over the weekend to see if, in fact, somebody was using my potential Social Security payments.
You checked your account, yep.
To see if my income is there and if my projections are accurate. I didn't need to set up anything. I simply created an account, and then they gave me the double identification back. Here's mm-hmm. your code number. I typed that in, and I checked my debt, and it all seemed to be good. That's all I needed to do, right?
Yeah, at this point, right.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't get caught in this, you don't get caught. But if you're caught, it's quicksand. The more you struggle, the deeper you get.
But set up an account with Social Security. That you have a Social Security card or number doesn't mean that you have actually set up an account with Social Security. Go to SSA.gov and do that. Because otherwise, somebody can steal your identity, pretend to be you, set up an account in your name, and then start to collect your checks before you do.
No, you wouldn't find that. But you would find
somebody
using your name, your Social Security number, perhaps, and their income is being reported. You know, like, let's just say you work for WGN Radio for the last forever years. And so you see that every year. But now you see a really odd thing from Frank's Garden Shop. Somebody contributed $382. Somebody might have taken your Social Security number. Let's not get into that now. That's not the problem. The problem is the miscalculations of the agency, the inability to collect information when you're receiving a public pension.
Here's a question from one of our listeners. Do you think there will be a cut to Social Security if Trump gets reelected?
No, even Trump don't let me say this on the radio. No, I don't think there will be a cut in benefits. I think there's going to be, don't get angry at me, I think there's going to be general agreement that we need to raise the retirement age, not for you if you're 63 now, but for those who are in their 30s and 40s and maybe even early 50s, raise the retirement age. I think there's no question that we have to lift the cap on paying Social Security taxes into the system. That would be a huge way of salvaging.
Not eliminate the cap, but raise it.
Raise it significantly. It really requires an adjustment, and that will keep Social Security functional.
Please ask Terry if I have to declare my dividends on my traditional IRA and my IRA on my state and federal taxes.
No, if it's inside an IRA, that all stays inside the IRA. And when you take it out later, when you're retired or have to take required minimum distributions, that's all taxed as ordinary income. But you shouldn't get a 1099 for dividends on stocks that you hold inside your IRA.
Just real quick, Terry, so the Fed's meeting today. Your expectation is what?
The market's expectation is nothing will happen in terms of the rates, but what the Fed says will be interesting. We started the year with many people saying, oh, we're going to have 6 cuts. Well, they'll start in March. Well, that didn't happen. And we've had some strong economic news. But what's interesting about today, and it'll happen just after we get off the air, is the Fed reveals its dot plot, which is where the 19 Federal Reserve governors and heads, well, exactly who they are, but the 12 regional bank presidents and the other governors each contribute an unnamed, you don't say who you are, but there's a giant chart, and each one gets to put in what they think the Fed funds rate will be in a certain month for the next 12 months. And it comes out to be a big chart called the dot plot. You remember when you were talking with Sam about the March Madness brackets?
Mm-hmm.
And when I walked in, I saw Sam's bracket sheet where, Kentucky's here, and da, 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 which was Greek to me. Well, the dot plot is the brackets for the Fed. And it'll be released. It's released quarterly. So we're going to get to see it today. And the analysts who follow this stuff, it's not Greek to them. They're looking at, how many Fed governors are expecting rates to have cuts in between? What are they predicting rates will be higher? That means that the economy is stronger. They can read the tea leaves on the Fed's dot plot, and that comes out today. So tomorrow you'll see some turmoil based on the interpretation of which way the Fed's likely to go.
And why do those Fed players have to do a dot plot like that when they're the ones that set the rate to begin with?
Because they
decide.
Yes, but the consensus is what we hear at the meetings. But they send these in blindly. And only, I think it's last night, the night before the meeting, do they see what their fellow gurus have suggested and forecast for rates. And if you see this line shift, for instance, to rates aren't dropping so much, then you know that there's great concern about the strength of the economy and possibly inflation, and that the Fed might not cut that much. So this is our first chance to look at the Fed's brackets. That's it.
Well, Terry, just along that like sports analogy real quick.
Don't, because I know nothing more about sports. I thought that was brilliant.
So if I said the over-under on Fed cuts this year, and I'm setting the line at 2.5, is the Fed going to cut it above
I'll take
2.5
yeah.
or below 2.5?
I'd take that. I think it'll be 3.
I'll take the over.
Yeah.
But if the line were 3.5, would you
take the under?
It's 12:39, 312-981-7200. Let's go to Patty. You're on WGN. Hi, Patty. How are you?
Hi, John and Terry. First of all, I'm nervous, but no, this is not my forte, so just bear with me.
Okay.
I am 63 now, but back in my 30s, I bought a lot of mutual funds and some stocks and just ignored them. And now 30 plus years later, I am getting hit with these capital gains taxes, which I just found out 2 years ago that this could happen. And apparently these companies have been bought and sold many times, and I don't have the original paperwork. So my tax man says, you have to pay this because these companies can sell these, and you don't know anything about it, and then you get these capital gains.
Patty, stop for a second. Stop for a second.
Okay.
Question number one. Did you buy these in a retirement account, an IRA, or just outright in your name?
Just outright.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you, did you buy them all at one time, more or less, in a particular year?
Pretty much over the course of 2 or 3 years in the early 90s.
Okay. Well, first of all, good for you. The fact that you have gained. Now, if you sell them and you've held them for over a year, which you have, any individual stock or mutual fund, you will pay a long-term capital gain. The difficulty, and your tax man is probably pulling his hair out, is what is the basis? What is the cost basis?
Right.
So now, I don't suppose you kept your... See, if you go in my basement, I can pull out my tax return and my... my Saks Fifth Avenue shopping bill from 1973. Okay. I'm a big keeper of stuff. It's a big joke in my family. They're going to have a bonfire when I'm gone. Do you happen to have any, your checkbook, your register from those days? Because I always say throw that in there.
Well, we had a business all these years, and I was always told keep everything 7 years and you don't have to worry. So I don't have the original paperwork. We have my tax returns, and we tried to go in there.
No, the cost won't be in there.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
so,
it was not
hold
in
on
there.
A second. So, let's pause this. So for people who have no paperwork, they cannot paper establish.
You can file an affidavit, ask your tax man to do it, to say these were bought in 1991 to 1993 because that was when you had the money for a certain reason. And the average price of XYZ stock in that era was $43 a share. And you can file an affidavit and use that as your cost basis. The IRS will accept that.
Okay.
That's what you should start to do.
Otherwise, how would you?
Now, the only other choice you have, I mentioned this, you're too young to think about this, but if you die owning those stocks and you leave them all to your children and mutual funds instead of selling them, the cost basis is the value in the current tax law, value on the date of death. So if you bought XYZ stock for $26 a share and it's trading at $312 a share and you die in 25 years.
That's the new cost basis.
That's the new cost basis.
So
and there's never
taxes.
Any tax.
So there's
right.
no tax
then. And they won't get hurt on that.
No,
they won't get hurt. So if you don't need. So one of the things is if you don't need to sell them, which you might, or because they might have been bad investments, or sometimes a company gets bought out, and you need to establish a cost basis. That's the way to do it if you have no paperwork. A reminder, everybody, inside an IRA, it doesn't matter what your cost basis was. Everything comes out taxed as ordinary income. If you did buy individual stocks or mutual funds, keep those records forever.
But for the Patties of the world, if you had two pools of money, then don't use this money if you want to avoid the tax consequences.
Exactly. If you can actually... not
you. If you're going to leave something for me, leave that, and that'll be the new cost basis, and there'll be no tax. Patty, good luck to you.
That's what I'll do. Thank you so much.
Have a good day. Let's go to Trudy. You're on WGN. Trudy, what's your question for Terry Savage? Hi.
I have a question. I would like to know how to buy the T-bills that Terry has recommended over the years in my revocable trust.
Very easy, Patty. Trudy, you go right to treasurydirect.gov and use your name of your trust, the Trudy Smith Revocable Living Trust dated whatever it is, and your Social Security number, your own Social Security number, and your address. If you will go to terrysavage.com, go over to the right-hand side and scroll down a little bit. There's a box called How to Buy Treasury Bills, and all the links and all the information is in there. But yes, buy them in the name of your Revocable Living Trust. Now, link that to a bank account in the name of your Revocable Living Trust, not your Trudy Smith checking account, but you have to have a money market fund. So the names are the same, and the money will go back and forth between them. The interest will drop into your money market fund of the same name.
Yeah. Could you repeat the name of that fund, or the U.S. Treasury.gov?
It's treasurydirect.gov is the website where you buy T-bills, and they'll explain it. Or you can go to terrysavage.com and look for the box on the right-hand side. Scroll down a little bit. How to buy treasury bills.
TreasuryDirect.gov, terrysavage.com. Good luck to you, Trudy. More of your questions with Terry Savage. First, more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A luxury jeweler in Chicago is expanding. Rasny Jewelers has reportedly purchased the building next door for about $16 million. It's located at 107 East Oak and includes about 6,300 square feet of space. Rasny's president tells Cranes it's perfect timing to acquire the property, but hasn't said whether there are plans to expand the existing store. Plans for utilizing the site are in the early stages, but he says it will open up new opportunities for growth and economic development. Menswear brand Paul Stewart recently occupied that building. A promotion is coming for McDonald's president and CEO. Chris Kempczinski will become the company's chairman after its 2024 shareholders meeting. That meeting is usually held in May. The announcement comes as McDonald's rolls out plans to open 10,000 stores globally by 2027. Kempczinski says he'll ensure that McDonald's remains nimble and continues to build on the strength of the brand. McDonald's is also aiming to double its loyalty program to $45 billion with a user base of 250 million customers. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food then with Steve Alexander.
Thank you, and I've got a world champion on the phone.
Yes, we're the best in the world.
Who he is and why he's the best in the world after I thank the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Okay, world champion.
My name is Tim Coonan. I'm the co-founder of Big Shoulders Coffee here in Chicago.
Big Shoulders as in?
1914, Carl Sandburg, Chicago poem. People are confused sometimes when they look at me because I'm not very muscular.
Big Shoulders got started, in a way, as one of Chicago's best fine dining restaurants with Tim and his wife.
Yeah, Patricia. So Patricia and I, we met at Spiaggia. It used to be a chef.
Spiaggia is no more, but Big Shoulders is booming with six locations around Chicago and a roastery in Pilsen where the Coonans apply their fine dining techniques.
So it's like roasting a chicken or cooking anything. We look at it with a real culinary sort of aspect.
And roasting coffee for Tim began as a home hobby with a gift from his mom.
An antique popcorn popper that had a little crank on top of it. And I was able to roast 8 ounces of coffee at a time.
Yeah, family loved his coffee, friends too, and then word got around.
Probably had about 60 customers at one point that I would deliver a bag of freshly roasted coffee to their home, and they'd have, you know, 10 bucks sitting under the geranium. I'd leave a bag of coffee. This was, you know, 15, 16 years ago.
Fast forward to 3 months ago when Tim and Patricia entered their roasts in the world competition in Australia called the Golden Bean.
And we took home our category of the world's best coffee roasters.
The medal winners for Big Shoulders included an espresso called Sucker Punch.
If you like Jolly Ranchers, kind of like an apple Jolly Rancher, with milk chocolate, kind of really delicious espresso.
Congrats to you and your team, Tim.
Thanks, man. Best coffee. We did it.
And if you are into roasting coffee,
we are putting on a Chicago Roasters Workshop. It's a friendly competition in a safe environment where we can kind of push our boundaries a little bit and have a little bit of fun. Check our website, bigshoulderscoffee.com, for details, and follow us on Instagram.
On the food calendar, it's National Ravioli Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Terry Savage is here, ready to answer more of your questions. Terry, you going to help me with my taxes now, or we'll do that later?
Yeah, I found your answer.
Good. All right, well, then let's answer some questions for our listeners. Michelle, you're on WGN with Terry Savage. What can we do for you?
Hi, Terry. My husband took out his 401k from Fidelity, and he got a text saying about taxes, and he clicked on it, and when he got to the Fidelity page, it says he owes nothing. So I was just wondering.
Okay, let's start over. How old's your husband?
53.
Did he retire?
No.
Did he just take the money out of his 401k to spend it?
Yes, he did, from another job. A different job that he does not have now.
So an old 401k?
Yes.
He withdrew money before age 59 and a half?
Yes.
Okay, well, number one, he's subject to a 10% penalty. That was a silly move. He should have rolled it over to an IRA. Number two, he owes ordinary income taxes. What that'll be is that amount that he withdrew will go on top of your other income, his income from his other job. And you should have received a 1099 from the custodian of that old 401k. Did you get that?
I can look when I get home.
Yeah, you better look for it. or contact them. Okay. If you took money out, he should have gotten a 1099, and it would probably include a 10% penalty. I've never seen one of those, so I don't know if it's a separate breakout or if it's just the withdrawal. I don't know where that penalty comes. Maybe they adjusted it. It was withdrawal downward by 10% because of
said,
the penalty.
But Michelle, you said that Fidelity did not indicate that you owed any taxes. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah, but they wouldn't be the keeper of the tax number you owe.
Was Fidelity the custodian of his old 401k?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but for sure you should contact that custodian. Say, gosh, my husband made a mistake. He took this out. Where's our 1099? Because the government will get a copy of it, and they'll say, why aren't you paying taxes on it?
Okay, Michelle, that's that. That's all for now. Good luck on that. Please ask Terry. I have a home equity outstanding of $36,000. I have a home equity, I presume,
loan
of $36,000. My Fidelity account is over $600,000. Should I pay down in sums of approximately $12,000 the next 3 years? I'm 72. I'm still working and contributing to Fidelity. I waited until 70 for SSI. Thank you.
Okay, so you've done a lot of right things, and I presume that the Fidelity account is some kind of an IRA rollover. And next year, when you turn 73, you're going to have a required minimum distribution. Have them withhold taxes from the RMD and use the money, an unexpected little pleasure, and pay down as much of the home equity loan as you can. No sense paying interest. And you could take the money out this year, pay taxes on it, and pay down the loan. But you should. It's only $30,000. Your RMD might very well be around $30,000 next year at age 73.
Time for one more question. This is Pam. You're on WGN with Terry Savage. Go ahead, Pam.
Yes, my husband and I are both retired, and we normally get a refund on our federal taxes. This year we had to pay $1,075, and now they want me to pay quarterly. Do I have to, or do I wait and pay it all at once next year?
Well, theoretically, but that's such a big pain to pay quarterly when it's a small amount. Did you take an RMD, a required minimum distribution, from an IRA by any chance?
Yes.
Yes? Okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to take here's a really cute trick. You do not have to put in quarterly, but you have to ask your custodian. They probably took out 20% in withholding taxes. They withheld taxes from your RMD, right? Your distribution.
Right.
Okay. Tell them that that wasn't quite enough last year. You have some other untaxed income. So if they were taking out 20%, tell them to take out 23% or 25% in withholding from your next IRA distribution. Do that distribution this year in the first 6 months, and that'll cover your tax liability, and you won't have to file quarterly.
Okay.
Okay?
Because I know they take 10% out.
Oh, they take 10%. Tell them to take 15% out. Then you won't have any liability this year. That'll solve it very easily.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Terry, we always appreciate your help.
I can't believe the time flew.
Okay, Terry will join us again next week. You can always reach her and query her at terrysavage.com.
Thanks, John.
And keep us posted on them Social Security stories.
That's news, you'll hear it first.